This morning's reflection is going to focus on the second reading. Today's reading from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Paul makes it clear that it is through grace that we are saved and through faith, not by works. When we decide to follow Christ, old life is shed and new life is embraced. It's kind of like when a child outgrows a winter coat and the loving parent gives the child a new coat of the right size. We don't earn that new coat. It is given in love. However we are to respond to the new life given with Christian action, Paul's letter provides us with a set of refreshingly clear instructions that guide us as we take off the old coat of secular living, of old life, and put on the new coat of Christian life. Here is a list of some of the instructions to guide the actions necessary for Christian living, as applicable today as they were nearly 2,000 years ago when they were first written. Let's look closely at a few of Paul's instructions. First, Paul instructs his readers to put away all falsehood. We, as followers of Christ, are to lose all dishonesty, lies, deceit, and tendencies toward fabrication. Paul invites us to live an authentic life marked by truth and honesty. Now, you may remember the name Bernie Madoff. One doesn't need to look far to find poignant examples of people whose entire existence is based on lies and falsehood. And there are less extravagant examples all around us. During these tough economic times, the excess in lies of the last decade are becoming apparent. Looking at the number of foreclosures, the staggering amount of credit card debt, and other signs, it is clear that many Americans have been on a spending binge, spending well above and beyond their means. Isn't spending when one doesn't have and pretending to have more than one does qualify as deceit and fabrication? William Barclay, in his commentary on a letter to the Galatians and Ephesians, addresses why truth is such a core component of Christian life. We are all members of the same body. We can live in safety only if the senses and nerves pass true messages to our brain. If they took to passing false messages, if for instance they told the brain that something was cool and touchable, when in fact it was hot and burning, life would very soon come to an end. A body can function healthily only when each part of it passes true messages to the brain. If then we are all bound into one body, that body can function properly only when we speak the truth. As members of the body of Christ, we must live an authentic life marked by truth and honesty. Paul addresses the role of anger in Christian life. In verse 26, Paul advises us, "Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil." Now recently, there was a priest who was picking up his clerical shirts from the local dry cleaner. Short on time and with a long to-do list, he ran in through the shirts, expecting his stuff to only last a minute or two. As he asked the young woman behind the counter the superficial question, "How are you doing?" tears filled her eyes. She said, "Father, I have a hate-filled heart, and I don't know what to do." Clearly, this was not going to be a quick stop. Now, the priest listed a holiness name on God's schedule, not ours, as is often the case. And the young woman explained that she had lived with her boyfriend, a drug addict, for the past 2 years. He had been in and out of rehab, and he had now relapsed once again. The night before, he had brought home a man that the police were after and let him stay on their couch, and she had spent the night in fear for her own life. The young woman explained that she knows it is the Christian thing to do to forgive, but that she just couldn't do it, anymore. The priest thought long and hard, and he explained that her anger was certainly justifiable. Anger is an emotion, and we can't help but feel angry. He also explained that forgiveness does not mean that people who sin against us are not responsible for the consequences of their behavior. You may remember the popular radio show host, Dr. Laura Schlesinger. She once had a similar phone call from a woman expressing the same sentiment. And Dr. Laura responded by saying, "Being a Christian doesn't necessarily make you a wimp." Forgiving her boyfriend for his relapse is one thing, but allowing him back into her life is far different. To allow the boyfriend to return time and time again had allowed the anger to fester. And the hate-filled heart she described was the result, the making room for the devil to which Paul refers. While we all feel anger as Christians, we must seek to resolve our anger. And as Christians, we must use our words to build up the body of Christ. In verse 29, Paul writes that we must not let evil talk come out of our mouths, but only what is useful for building up, as there is need, so that our words may give grace to those who hear it. Now, it's a funny thing about human nature. It seems that we have a tendency to try and make ourselves seem better off by talking badly about others. Now, while people of all ages can be guilty of this practice, there is a story about a 13-year-old girl who was active in her local Episcopal youth group, whose Christian faith ran deep. Most evenings at bedtime, she could be found sitting by her window, quietly praying, completely of her own accord. But one Sunday after her youth group, when this very passage from Ephesians was explored, she came to her mother looking concerned, and she asked, "Is that really true? Do you think it is a sin to talk bad about someone? Should we really only say things that build other people, no matter where we are?" Now, her mother could only imagine her 13-year-old's thought process. But after a long discussion, and without a lecture or a mandate from her mother, the girl decided that for the entire season of Lent, she would only say things that would build people up. Now, there are challenges to this at school, her siblings, even at her church. But by Easter, she was able to explain to her mother that she realized that putting other people down really didn't make her feel any better about herself. In fact, it made her feel worse when she thought about it. Taking the time to be intentional to her about her speech allowed her to break a bad habit. Think about this. If a junior high school student is able to live by Paul's words, we as adults should be able to do as well. As Christians, we must use our words to build up the body of Christ. Paul's instructions conclude with a summary of this point. Put away from us all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as God loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. It is noteworthy that Paul adds the importance of forgiveness, a forgiveness of self and others as God has forgiven us. In reality, very few of us can always live by the guidelines for Christian living that Paul lays out for us today. Maybe today your heart is heavy because you aren't living a completely authentic life. Maybe the world and even your church family sees an inauthentic you. Paul's words suggest it is time to start living in truth. Or maybe today you are harboring a festering anger. an anger that may well have been justified. Paul's words suggest that it is time to let it go. God has more for your heart and soul to do than to nurse a previous hurt. Or maybe today you're thinking that your words aren't always used to build up others. Paul closes with forgiveness. So today, as our worship continues and we pray together, pay particular attention to the Lord's Prayer. To forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Remember, it is through the gift of God's forgiveness that we can live a new life and never die. Thanks be to God.
Amen.